Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. I'm Shauna Comte-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking about getting to know New Orleans.
Millennial Money with Shauna Comte-Game. It will expand your brain.
All right, this is Travel Tuesday, and we're going to bring you to New Orleans. I'm here with my husband, Jeff, travel writer, and we recently went on a trip to New Orleans, and, you know, I hadn't been since I was a kid, and when I was a kid, I went to Mardi Gras, which is really the reason that most people know New Orleans, but when you're 5 years old and you're going to Mardi Gras, the last thing I remember was people flashing. All I really cared about were the beads, and I got a ton of beads, so it was fun to go back this time and see a different side of New Orleans. And what I really loved was There is an entrepreneurial spirit in New Orleans that has really developed, especially after Katrina. And so we were there for an entrepreneurial conference and met our friend Todd, who is going to join us on the podcast and kind of journey around New Orleans with us. But Jeff, what were some of your favorite places in New Orleans?
Well, I think first we want to know, did you actually have to flash to get the beads when you were 5 years old?
No, there was no flashing.
I've been to New Orleans many times as an adult. I think I went one time as a kid, and it's one of my favorite cities, but it is really exploding right now. It's a really great time to go. Since Katrina, they have, which is over 10 years ago now, the Hurricane Katrina, they have really built up New Orleans, a lot more restaurants, a lot more things to do in the city. And it's just a really spectacular time to really go to New Orleans. And so when we went, we stayed at the Old 77 Hotel, which is a really cool hipster haven of a hotel. We were really surprised. It used to be an old chandlery. And a leather making place, wasn't it, or something like that? But it's a really great place. They have a restaurant inside, and in another article I interviewed top chef, their head chef there, Nina Compton. The restaurant, the name is,
I'm gonna butcher the French here, but I think it's Compre Lapin.
She's good at the French pronunciations, but it is a really great restaurant. We ate there a couple times, and for breakfast and for dinner, and they have some seriously really good food and some seriously really good cocktails too in their open bar area. But the whole hotel really kind of feels open, doesn't it? It feels like it just, you know, kind of an open area. They have lots of great artwork around the hotel, so I would highly recommend there. The other thing too, in where the hotel is, it's this revitalized, it's where we went for the conference festival thing that we went for, the warehouse district is where it's located, and this is a really revived area of the city. We ate at, how many times we go to the St. James Cheese and Wine Shop, like three different times. That is amazing. That's right around the corner from the hotel. I really want to go back to Cochon Butcher, which is the offshoot of another thing called Cochon, their restaurant, and it's a butchery and sandwich place. Their mac and cheese is just ooey gooey and to die for. You really need to try that. So New Orleans is just one of these really great cities. It always has been, but this is a great time to go check it out. So our friend Todd Ragusa gave us a local's perspective and some insight into New Orleans.
So I'm a public relations consultant, and I work for a number of different organizations, elected officials, and a lot of advocacy campaigns, so issue-based campaigns. And you guys know me from my work with the Idea Village, which produces New Orleans Entrepreneur Week each year. And they've really helped transform New Orleans into this startup hub of the South, which is been doing some really cool things, and we've had some really cool companies grow in this ecosystem. So it's been fun to be part of that.
Yeah, and are you were you born in New Orleans, or are you a transplant?
Yeah, so people in the New Orleans area tend to claim New Orleans, which I do too. But I was more precisely born in Jefferson Parish in a suburb called Metairie. So in Louisiana, we have parishes, not counties, which might be news to some folks. So I was just born and raised in the adjacent parish, Jefferson Parish, and went away to grad school, lived in Denver for a while, lived in D.C. for a little while, and found my way back to New Orleans about a month before Hurricane Katrina.
That's interesting timing.
Yeah, good timing to have all your stuff in a storage unit.
Exactly. So, I mean, there are just so many reasons to love New Orleans. I mean, the food, the people. It's just such a unique city. But what are some of the reasons why you love New Orleans?
I think I love it for the same reasons that people like to visit it. But when you live here, you're even a little bit more keyed in and plugged in. There's a colleague and I were just talking. Seems like there's a new festival that happens every weekend. And now it's getting to the point where there's two festivals happening every weekend. And you have to kind of choose. This weekend, I think there's three. There's a gumbo festival, a book festival, and another fest going on around town. So there's a lot of stuff to do. And so you're never short of ideas for, you know, what kind of fun to have on any given weekend.
So you mentioned Katrina, you guys moved there then. What have you seen that there's a difference post and pre-Katrina?
Well, I think pre-Katrina, I don't think it would be too offensive or a stretch to say that New Orleans was kind of a city on decline. And then, you know, Katrina was a terrible tragedy and people lost their lives, but it was also an opportunity for us kind of stop the clock and pause that downward momentum and start to kind of reassess where we wanted to be as a city. And I think what we've seen since 2005 was that a lot of people kind of decided we were, as a city, going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and not necessarily wait for government, federal, or state assistance, and really bring back our city ourselves. And so you've seen a lot of people step into leadership positions, and you've seen communities become much more connected and plugged in, and you know, real strengthening a more robust sense of community, I guess you could say.
What are some of the better neighborhoods in New Orleans for a traveler to go there and hang out, to, you know, go eat, drink, or do whatever?
Yeah, so New Orleans is really a city of neighborhoods, and each neighborhood has its own unique characteristics and reasons why you would want to go visit there. So of course you've got the French Quarter, which I think is probably the visual that pops into most people's minds when they think New Orleans, with its Spanish style architecture, and you know, Bourbon Street is there, Cafe du Monde is there, Jackson Square. It's kind of the iconic view that most people see of the city. And there's a lot of fun to be had in the French Quarter, but all there's surrounding neighborhoods that each have their own kind of character and charm. That's a lot of fun and can cater to different interests. So, for example, you've got the Marigny, which is got a lot of very cool architecture, a lot of live music venues out there where you can hear some really good and eclectic music. Just past the Marigny, you've got the Bywater, which is kind of a transitioning neighborhood that has a new art scene, you could say. You've got the Warehouse District, which has a lot of great restaurants and art galleries. You've got the Garden District, which, as it's implied in the name, has really nice gardens and really nice homes. You can do garden tours out there. And the famous Commander's Palace restaurant is out there. So you can make a little day out of that. And there's some really great shopping along Magazine Street as well. You've got Uptown and the University areas where there's some, you know, grand houses, as well as Audubon Park and Audubon Zoo. You've got Lakeview, the lake area, which is on Lake Pontchartrain. There's sailing and fishing and you know, things to do on the water. There's a lot of neighborhoods. I know I'm leaving some out, but there's a little bit of something for everyone. For folks coming down looking for a, you know, late night cocktail, to folks wanting to kind of experience architecture and take a garden tour. So there's a range of things to do, and they can be found in the various neighborhoods.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than just Bourbon Street and stuff. I think people don't always know that. Yeah,
right. Yeah, and I think people don't appreciate that. And also, as a local, you know, I can't tell you the last time I went to Bourbon Street. So it's
right.
It's definitely a tourist attraction. If you come down, you want to experience it once.
Yeah.
But I think you'll find that there's a lot more that the city has to offer. And if you're coming as a family, there's things that are really family friendly and a lot of fun as well that don't involve jello shots.
I think I've seen a few people have some jello shots too on that street.
Yeah, the big thing is that Pat O'Brien's, you can get a hand grenade, which is a red fruity beverage that'll just knock you down. And then there's also neon green drinks called hand grenades that are served in a hand grenade shaped to-go cup. That's another unique feature, I think, about New Orleans is the to-go cup. You can walk out on the streets with your beverage and journey from bar to bar, which is kind of a neat experience. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
What, since you're in the PR business, what are some of the newer hotels that have moved into the city?
Yeah, there's been a lot popping up, and there continue to be more. There's a lot of skyscrapers in the sky right now. But two that kind of come to mind are a different vibe. One is an Ace Hotel. It's got that kind of very cool hipster urban vibe, and it boasts a pretty nice rooftop pool as well. So this is a cool place to hang out. It's a great place to have dinner, very cool rooms and some nice lounging on the pool deck as well. And then so that's downtown in the Warehouse District. And then a kind of a different vibe is the old Pontchartrain Hotel on St. Charles Avenue was not a hotel for, I think, a decade or more. But it kind of has roots in you know, the Hollywood era past, but now it's been renovated to kind of pay tribute to that old classic New Orleans vibe. And it has a rooftop bar and a restaurant and a piano bar, and it's been redone in a really fantastic way. So it's a different vibe that's uptown, but it's also something that I think folks might want to check out.
And probably the most important question that I'm going to ask you is, who has the best beignets?
Oh, I mean, that's easy. Café du Monde, hands down, hands down. I don't know. I don't know. It's probably one of these childhood things where I used to go there with my grandparents when I was a little kid, and you just get covered in the white powdered sugar. And I still do as an adult. But,
hey, we still like that experience. So that you're never too old for powdered sugar.
Yeah, and you can't have enough powdered sugar. So yeah, I'd say Café du Monde. I've realized recently, though, that the line in the morning on the weekends is crazy. So get there early or get there really late, because I think it's a 24-hour a day kind of deal. So you can go.
The one in the French Quarter, that's 24 hours, right? I think.
Yeah, that's 24 hours. Yeah. Those around the morning hours, the line seems to stretch down the block. So right. I'd try to maybe make it a late night snack instead of a breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good way to sop up all those hand grenades.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So when we met you, we stayed at the old 77 Hotel, and we're going to mention that earlier in the episode. We mentioned that earlier in the episode, I should say. And that's in the Warehouse District. What are some of the places you love to go to in the Warehouse District?
Yeah, so in the Warehouse District, there are a few restaurants that are really good. There's a couple of restaurants by Chef Donald Link that are fantastic. One is Couchon. It's kind of a newer contemporary Cajun cuisine, which is great. And I think I bumped into you guys next door at Butcher, which is kind of the sandwich shop extension of Couchon, which is a little more upscale. But Butcher is where you can go get a really nice sandwich for lunch or dinner, and it's affordable as well. And then he also has restaurants Herb Saint, which is more white tablecloth, but really fantastic meals there as well.
Right. What so you mentioned the festivals earlier. Are there any festivals that you usually go to that you like a lot?
Yeah, well, I mean, the big one is Jazz Fest, and that just brings in hundreds of thousands of people and some world-class entertainment to New Orleans, and that's in the spring every year, and it just seems to keep growing and growing. And that's a great time to come into New Orleans. And if you can't get in for Jazz Fest at that time, every music venue in town just has these great acts who are just kind of supplementing their schedule by playing gigs around town. So that's a really good time to come to New Orleans.
And, you know, you mentioned one of the unique things about New Orleans, obviously, that you can take your sippy cup beverage into the street. But what are some other kind of unique things about New Orleans that maybe somebody might not know about?
Yes. Well, we were talking about festivals and good times to come in. I mean, there's kind of no better time than Mardi Gras, the greatest free show on earth. And there's something for everyone at Mardi Gras. I mean, a lot of people think of Bourbon Street and, you know, flashing for beads, but, you know, you can get a totally different experience down the parade route where it's really families having kind of picnic style lunch throughout the day and kids on ladders catching beads and trinkets. And it's a fantastic time. So I think there's probably a misconception about Mardi Gras, but it's really an experience where the whole community can come together and enjoy something that's unique to New Orleans.
I mean, because there's more than just the one parade, too, right? There's multiple different neighborhood parades.
Oh, there's tons of parades. So if you were to come in, so leading up to Mardi Gras starts on King's Day, which is January 6th. So that's when the season kicks off. And then as you get closer to Mardi Gras, which is it's not a specific date because it kind of floats on the calendar depending on when Lent and Easter are. It's a whole Catholic tradition thing. But the two weeks or so leading up to Mardi Gras, there's parades throughout the day on the weekends, and then there's some weeknight parades as well. And every community has one. The big ones kind of seem to take place on the same routes or generally in the same areas. So depending on where you go, there's a different vibe. So Mardi Gras is made up of all these different carnival clubs. They're called crews, K-R-E-W-E. And the crews are essentially these social clubs that people pay dues into. And each crew may have its own parade. And so the parades are free. It's illegal for parades to be sponsored by corporations. So it kind of maintains that kind of pure, authentic element. And it's just paid for by the dues that these folks pay. And then they buy their own beads and trinkets and cups and frisbees and stuffed animals to throw to the jeering crowds. So it's a unique tradition and one that's really alive and well, and it gets bigger every year, which is really good to know. We've had a couple new parades actually come online in the last couple of years, which is good to see as well.
So you mentioned about a misconception about Mardi Gras. Are there any other misconceptions about New Orleans that people should know about that's really, you know, that New Orleans maybe gets a bad rap for?
Well, why don't you tell me what are some of your thoughts on New Orleans, and I can tell you if they're accurate or not.
Well, I think like you mentioned, like, you know, people just flashing in the street and, you know, that kind of stuff like that. I mean, is it just a crazy party all the time?
There can be, if that's what you're looking for. So there can be any number of experiences. If you're young and looking to have some fun on Bourbon Street, that's going 24/7. But if you want to go have a nice meal and more relaxed atmosphere and listen to some authentic jazz, I mean, we've got some of the best musicians in the world who live here. You can do that too, and you can totally avoid the more debauched atmosphere.
And why might now be a good time for someone to come visit New Orleans?
Right now is a great time because there's a lot going on. New Year's Eve is coming up. We're a big New Year's Eve town. I think we consistently rank like number one or number two tourist town in the country. 2018 is going to be the tricentennial of New Orleans, and there's a whole schedule of events and activities throughout 2017 and 2018 to celebrate that 300th anniversary. So there's really no better time to come than in these coming months and throughout the next year or so.
So New Orleans really is this awesome city to travel to as a millennial. There's so much going on. If you live there as a local, there's a huge entrepreneurial spirit that is just blossoming. And it's just one of those cities that truly is indescribable. So make sure you add it onto your list and check out all the cool places that we talked about and that Todd shared as well. There'll be links in the show notes, so go ahead and check those out. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Shauna Game, Instagram at millennial_money. And thanks for joining us for Travel Tuesday.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.